So this is a loose collection of people who are interested in trying to do something new with CMIS. So I don't even know what you've seen of the CMIS that's existed for a long time, but it's all written in Fortran 77, and then it started a long, long time ago. And because I think there's a recognition that we have to move to distributed computing, and that code never has done any distributed computing, and it's kind of hard to port to that. Carl and I really have started looking at a whole lot of what other projects we could build as a foundation to do the same sorts of problems that we're doing with CMIS, but on a different foundation. We evaluated lots of products, and we had this whole process, and other people at different times have come and gone and their involvement, and Travis has got more excited when something's actually been shown to be happening, and which is good, because I'm the same. And we settled on trying for the next while to try and use this program called LibMesh. So LibMesh is written at University of Utah.
Texas. It was written there.
But the people have kind of spread out from that place, but that's where they kind of started from. It has some of the features we want and others that aren't quite there, and we're still learning about using it, but we think that it should provide a platform on what we can build to solve problems like what we do in CMIS, and hopefully avoid some of the problems, and hopefully not have to write everything from scratch, because I think the other option was really starting again from scratch, and our collaborator in Oxford may be doing this still, but I just don't think we have the resources to do that.
The third option was to try and take CMIS, the original,
and kind of
make changes to that. And kind of built it up into a more advanced Fortran 90 version, but I think we felt that wasn't. The problem with CMIS is it's written with a lot of global variables.
And so huge global arrays.
Yeah. And it uses a lot of memory that it doesn't need in general. So it's not flexible, very flexible at all.
Is there software documentation in place for CMIS? It's not there.
It's not. It could be better, but it could be worse.
There is an inline programming documentation system, but it's customized and predates most of the other ones, and therefore is written ourselves. And it's used.
It's helpful, but it's not necessarily always filled out.
And the other thing that the other strength of CMIS is that someone has written a huge variety of examples, which you've probably seen. You know, there's all those example web pages, and there's screeds of them. That works to our advantage and disadvantage. The main advantage is that you can see what people have done, but it has two big disadvantages I can think of. One is that you go and look at a problem, and unless you do exactly what that problem is, I don't know that you can have any confidence about what it's doing, because unless you go and understand, it's not documented how you could change things and still expect them to work.
There's no testing, really. There's testing of the examples.
Yeah.
But there's no unit testing of smaller.
And then the other problem is if you find something that's wrong, or you find a better way of doing something and you want to improve it, then you're going to break hundreds of examples and spend a week fixing them up. So that penalty is so big that no one fixes anything. They find problems, and instead of fixing the problem, they'll add another option. Okay, so it's safer. You can say, I won't touch everything that's there, I'll just do it a new way. And there is a system in CMIS that you add another question to an equation and do a thing, and then you say, this is my special option that does the same as these ones, but it's better, you know, or different in some way. And so you go and look for ways of doing things, and there often will be coded up quite different but similar things to do the same thing, and know what everyone's afraid of changing it. I don't know that our new system is going to be better than that, because if you have massive regression tests for lots of problems, I don't know how you get around that particular feature. But
everything should be built up with modules, versus the way it's done now.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
So
it's the modularity.
Yeah.
Is the new project to be targeted with C or C++, or it's going to have...
Yeah, so LibMesh is written in C++. None of the products that we evaluated that were open source candidates for a platform for numerical finite elements, like we're talking about, were written in anything but C++. There are some very strong objections to C++ within our group, particularly from our collaborator in Oxford, who thinks that it will not work.
And perhaps Peter himself.
And Peter himself is not confident.
I mean, is it because they have problems with...
No. It's because they philosophically believe that it's not a good way to do it. It's more...
There's probably a few issues. Yeah. One is that some people believe C++ can optimize as well as Fortran, so code won't be as fast. And probably the other view is that we have some old code in Fortran, and there's a suggestion that if we wrote new code in Fortran, it would be easier to port stuff that has already been done.
That's hard to believe, though.
Yeah, both things are debatable.
But we have always had the idea that you could always take LibMesh, and the problems that really demand a lot of time are very large electrical activation problems, which the main...
Well, and our mechanics problems are also computationally bound.
Yeah.
But the one we're focusing on...
A lot of that is the algorithms, so those algorithms need improvement. But in terms of the computational workhorse, it's matrix vector multiplies, like everything.
Mm.
And those kinds of things can be done at a Fortran level, if they need to be.
Or hard-coded on many of these platforms of blood.
Coming down to that, when it comes to a distributed platform, we already have well-developed libraries out, say, for example. IBM will have its own BESL.
You'll
have many other groups having very well-optimized set of distributed packages to do your kernel operations.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, Fortran is going to be pitched in there, then probably we are doing rework on that. I mean, instead we can go ahead and use...
Is this written in what language?
I mean, in terms of recreating the stuff itself, you know. If we are going to write the kernels ourselves, then that's...
Well, I mean, we're not...
When it gets down to kernels, we haven't... Our big concern was actually, because PETSI was going to be just kind of the framework. PETSI is, I'm sure you're aware of PETSI, right?
No.
PETSI is, I would say, the predominant matrix vector product out there right now.
Predominantly a solver library, but it's...
Yes, it's predominantly representing matrices and vectors over...
It may well be used... something underneath, I don't know.
Yeah. It started out as a solver library almost exclusively, but it's been trying to generalize.
Been trying to move more into actually solving complex PDEs.
Right. And that's what they're trying to do.
But it's been
optimized. It's actually, because it's used so much, there are people who are optimizing it for different platforms.
Today, it looks mainly at sort of structured meshes, it can be used as a general linear solver, but exceptions to PDEs have been for structured meshes, probably generated from finite difference equations, and so it doesn't provide the features we need to build an unstructured finite element mesh immediately, but LibMesh provides those features that Oxen gets in as a linear solver.
Is LibMesh kind of open source or is it closed? Yeah,
that was part of LibMesh.
Well, it was part of our requirements, really. That's what we wanted to do.
So then you can go and tinker in and But if at least, I don't know about the resource constraints that we have, but I mean, one solution that I can think of is like if there are certain group of people who still believe that, you know, they want to go the Fortran way, then you can always provide them with something like, you know, a specialized engine on top of LibMesh, which will still run Fortran code for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, you know, the arguments, though, they don't want a Fortran interface to a C++ infrastructure. They want us their argument is that Fortran is what is required at the core, and we're saying that we're not going to do that. It's incompatible, really.
Ultimately, it's going to be sort of assembly level instruction that I'm going to run.
Yeah, totally.
So,
but that was the argument about the level of optimization that different compilers are able to produce. I don't know to relitigate those arguments, but so that gets us to the point where we're using C++ and using libmesh and Petsky, and then trying to start the point we're at now is we're just trying to see where we can go in terms of electrical activation problems and what we can actually accomplish, whether we can solve the same sorts of problems we're doing with CMOS now, or whether we can get some bigger ones solved. That's what we're trying to do. In this work, Carl and I are employed by the Institute to do research development, but my area is visualization, and so I actually develop a C code, which is for visualization and graphics. Carl is employed with the computational side of things and is the one that's actually been working on this mostly. Travis is from the gut group, really, I guess. I don't know what word you think he's in. Gut/heart group. And so he's looking at, contributing this as trying to be the application area that we're looking at this point.
So electrical masking modeling. What is your interest
here?
What are you going to be, what's the focus for your PhD?
PhD is going to be on the electrophysiology of heart.
Physiology of the heart?
Yeah.
Electrical?
Electrical, yeah.
Okay.
And this was my bread and butter.
We have a large shared memory computer at the moment. So that runs our old CM code, mm-hmm. and which has open MP parallelization. But we have a little over a year left, almost a year and a half on release on that, and then looks like we may be looking more at just clusters in the future.
So these IBM guys.
Hello, Shane speaking. this is just a little tiny library in the Bioengineering Institute. We don't have a library for some. This is like the Bioengineering Institute library. No worries. Okay, fine.
So we actually picked the. As a, like CM has a wide variety of applications, and so we wanted to pick one application for libmesh to implement first and to sort of prove it could work type things, and then we could move other things over, and we're going to do electrical activation of the heart for that, and that's still our intention, but it overlaps sufficiently with what Travis is doing with very similar implementation.
And you've never been able to solve the whole gut at this point, and we'd like to.
No. One of the advantages to LibMesh that no one really ever talks about is it has has adaptive mesh refinement features, which for very, very large problems where there's a wave that has a peak isolated in one physical area and everywhere else it's in resting state. And at that point, when the cell's in resting state, then you shouldn't need the same resolution. Same thing holds with the heart. And I was brought in as a multi-level person who people thought multi-level is adaptive mesh refinement. So the real need here is adaptive mesh refinement. And it's impossible to put that in CM in a reasonable way. And so LibMesh already has that in there. Mm-hmm. And we could use that for the intestines when it's long, or sorry, 7 meters long. You need to have adaptive mesh refinement. And same thing for the heart. It could be a big addition.
Frankly, you know, I'm not used to both CMOS.
We understand
that. So both of them are like, mean the same to me at this point.
Yeah.
One thing that probably I kind of feel is a major difference is at Seamless I have to have totally a Fortran kind of an interface, and Libmesh I'm going to have C++ kind of an interface. From a software engineering point of view, I would say I would go ahead and choose Libmesh because it's more maintainable, and I'll have people to in the future also to help me out develop on this than on Fortran.
We argue the same. I think everyone around this table agrees, but with presenting a case presented by people who aren't here as well.
That probably we might have to start building up set of documents and benchmarks telling them that
we've done quite a lot of benchmarking
and
we spent months doing it,
and the second thing is when you go distributed, the amount of compiler optimization that I want to do in terms of crunching out from CPU power is not going to be a great advantage, because you are going to be bound by communication there. It's not going to be computation. So that's going to be something that's going to work against the other argument that Fortran is going to give me raw power over there.
Cool.
Third thing is I want to understand the architecture of Libmesh, because the software architecture of Libmesh. I tried getting onto the net and I just got some presentations and stuff like that, but we're still not quite clear.
Did you find the Doxygen documentation?
No.
That's really the case.
So I want to probably sit around with somebody who's really looking into Libmesh, understand the architecture.
I think actually one of the best things we could do is at least the three of us sit down and share information of what we've learned, because I look at it separately when Carl does, and Carl looks at it, and I have a general idea. We talked about it a little while ago in terms of the fact that you have equation systems are used to define a set of equations, and then there's and the mesh has attached nodes and all those things. So it'd be good to sit down for ourselves, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know what Carl thinks about that.
Cool. I'm happy to just discuss that, please.
Maybe next Monday or something.
Yeah, and it's good that we also have the application side in place, because it shouldn't be like we end up developing a system that's too hard for application writers to get onto. At the same time, I think that is where I think I'll be able to contribute more.
Sounds good.
In terms of understanding the architecture and specifically trying to see of the distributed platform that you're going to get into, it would bring in good amount of performance and beat out the older arguments saying that Fortran is going to.
I think we can not worry about it per se, but it's just the background to where we're at. The proof in the pudding is that we haven't been done before, and we'll be able to show we can do something that no one else has been able to do.
I mean, to be good
examples.
Yeah.
They when they go to talks, they talk about it.
But future work.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about just building it ourselves. I don't think anyone at this table saw that we probably
we have a bioengineering institute end of the year mini conference. Well, it's all a parabolic problem. We just have to extend that to a reaction diffusion problem.
Yeah. And we were given the required number of SUSE licenses.
There's one that is that usually comes with AIX, but starting last year, they were a large distributed system because performance disappeared.
Okay, but we haven't got that large a system. So it's not that big. So it's probably MPICH would probably be okay.
Currently the mess. So along with them and understanding architecture. Probably with somebody else who has to arrange a convenient time to sit on and start discussing and then set it on that.
He's bored. No.
I'm not saying I'm bored.
Because it's worth them having a play, and then we can come back and discuss how about things
probably.
So, in 1996. 1997, and you ordered it licensed in Alliston, New Jersey, and they licensed things that I got going before it really had a whole lot of big grants. At the same time, I was at Seems like I can them as well until they ran out of money. Physiome Science has kind of lost interest in
the I mean, they go out, they would be going out to a corporation, or they might be going to
if it has an open license, then they can get at it and continue to contribute or use what you've done.
Yeah.
And it's very great because the university.
We've had plenty of discussions about that.
So I think next is
that's our first goal is to build a set of examples, and then implements properly done. So these are the things that we will add, but then we enter a separate entity that's kind of ours and kind of in a way plugs into the mesh. Trying to create a mesh to read in.
Mm.
Sorry, not a mesh, but a data field on a mesh. And discovered yesterday that it's not possible to read in the mesh data because which the advantage. The reason I was thinking XDA and XTA was
that's what I started doing with Seamdo.
Yeah. So actually, can tell people take the simple Poisson problem. Which I think is example two, and create the matrix from that using essentially Laplace's equation on the left hand side, but then read in my mesh data and try to use that mesh to change the coefficients. So that's I think that won't be too hard to do. So at least getting us the mesh class is used to describe the mesh, and you can either create them native in the code. Or you can read in a mesh in various formats. And mesh data is the class that allows you to find reals or complex numbers on nodes or on elements. And that's what we need, and that's what I need if I'm doing stomach or intestine modeling, is to have varying parameters in the different elements. So starting right now, if I just want to eventually do a simple square and to have the data different. And there's an easy way to export meshes from CMS into one of these mesh formats. So eventually I'll export mesh from these mesh formats. And then the last thing would be to determine how to get data from CMS that's generated the way we typically do, read in into a format for UMB files. I think that's going to be the hard thing. But that gets down to the question of long term, how do we want to read in data?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, we generate meshes basically from visual human, quite often using CMGUI, which you can export from CMGUI, right? A mesh. And you could probably even export a refined mesh, right?
I can't. We have to know what a mesh refined is.
Anyway, from there you can maybe export.
Yeah, well, it's easy for me to add new exporters, but whether that's a good idea as well, I don't know.
Yeah. But it's like, what do we want to do long term? I mean, we're still going to be doing modeling, and I would assume that long term most people are doing MRI related or CT scans to get their geometry, and that's going to still be using CMGUI probably. There's some outside package. So. You need to have a general framework of things.
Yeah.
I agree.
Matter of where you put the translation.
Yeah. Who writes it?
We're going to need a translator somewhere. It could be Russian and CMGUI, but I guess it's going to be the easiest to write a script in a local language. So.
Translation of what? Is this creating a high resolution geometry or?
I thought we were just talking about getting from our existing meshes to a lip mesh.
Well,
not as concerned about that because I know I can write a little
okay.
subroutine and CMS that exports the mesh and what format I want.
Okay, so
but the data, that's the harder issue.
Okay, so it's still a field that might have been described in an IP node or IP node or an
X node. Yeah, yeah.
Then there's going to be a similar thing.
I think it's hard to guess what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But you know,
they cut off the heart, and you've got a connectivity field that you generate from
the angles.
Yeah. I mean, there's various ways you can exploit that. Say, I just want to use Adra. Or you can exploit the private things.
Yeah. Instead of interpolating it, you know, what needs to be in the functional matrix doesn't quite.
Oh, true.
Right to me.
Yeah.
So, I feel more comfortable interpolating private things.
Yeah. That's true. You might not get.
It's not a problem. It's sort of a. There's going to be symmetric and.
Right. Yeah.
This is a problem.
That is what you're.
Yeah.